call the next case.
May it please the court, David Barron for petitioner Sierra Club. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. This suit challenges EPA's creation of an exception from a statutory requirement that proposed new factories prove they won't cause or contribute to violations of clean air standards or increments before they can get a permit under the Clean Air Act's Prevention of Significant Deterioration, or PSD program. The exception applies if the proposed source's predicted impact on fine particle pollution levels in the area fall below fixed significant impact levels, or SILs, that EPA has declared by rule to be de minimis for all sources in all cases. The problem is that a source can have impacts below these SILs and still cause a violation of standards or increments. This can happen, for example, where the air is already so polluted that even a very small increase, one that's below the SILs, will tip the area into violation.
Well, hasn't the agency asked to send that back?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Hasn't the agency asked to send that portion of it back?
Well, the agency asked to send back the part of the rule that actually requires a waiver in that situation, but they still maintain that they can allow an exemption under those situations.
That would still be a question on remand, wouldn't it? I mean, they're asking to send back that part of the regulation where it can cause the violation. It's what they want to send back.
They want to send back the text of the rule,
right.
But they stand by their right to establish this exemption, and it's our position they can't.
Doesn't that become a theoretical standby at this point with respect to that?
Well, it's not.
We don't decide theoretical questions. There are questions still left in this case after that remand. Shouldn't you be addressing those instead of?
Are you suggesting that if we went on remand that the argument would still be alive whether they have de minimis authority in the first instance? Is that what you're arguing?
Yes,
Hadn't that been resolved by Alabama Power and EDF? I mean, that...
I'm sorry, which was resolved?
The issue of whether they have the authority to create such a de minimis exception.
Right.
I thought that was your argument, that you wouldn't be in favor of a remand because they don't have the authority under the statute to create this whole regime of de minimis exceptions anyway.
That's correct, Your Honor. And
I understand that that is an issue, but you were using the flawed results example to make a point, and their response to you was easy on that one. They said send it back. So if you want to argue about whether they have authority create SILs to cover de minimis situation, that's a different point. In any event, it's your argument. It seems to me a waste of time to talk about something if they're willing to have that.
Yeah. Quit the one you've won on and talk about the ones that are still up in the air.
I mean, why don't you start on the other one first, on the plain meaning one first? It seems to me they've got a hard fight there.
I will turn to that, Your Honor. De minimis exceptions aren't allowed where they thwart clear statutory mandates and the legislative design. And here, the exception flouts Congress's rigid mandate and clear design that new major pollution sources not be permitted at all, unless there's proof they won't cause or contribute to air pollution in excess of standards or increments. The Supreme Court
Is it proof, or did they have to demonstrate that it won't cause or contribute?
Well, demonstrate.
Isn't that significant? They're arguing that a demonstrate is ambiguous and that their interpretation of it is a reasonable one. What's wrong with that?
Well, first of all,
demonstrate?
The agency itself in the rulemaking below never claimed ambiguity in what demonstrates mean. They have always taken the position that demonstrates means you have to show that the pollution from this new source combined with pollution from other sources and existing pollution won't mean that the air gets dirtier than the standards or worsens a violation of existing standards. This, what they're doing here is creating an exception for that, a de minimis exception. And the Supreme Court has called this requirement to show compliance to be the heart of the Clean Air Act. This court has said that preventing exceedance of the increments is the emphatic goal of this PSD provision of the statute. EPA can't use a de minimis exception to override an extra statutory de minimis exception to override that kind of clear statute.
If there were not an Alabama Power Company case and its progeny, that would be a much more compelling statement, so they can't use a de minimis exception to override. Doesn't Alabama Power hold that, yes, they can? Or what do you say Alabama Power holds?
Well, Alabama Power's discussion of the de minimis doctrine was dictum because they didn't uphold any de minimis exceptions there. So this court is free to take another look at that.
But haven't we taken that language from, and I don't know the answer to this, has the language from Alabama Power been elevated to circuit law in other cases since then?
Well, the court has followed the general principles of the case that establish how you can qualify for a de minimis exception. But in terms of actually recognizing that EPA can waive or create de minimis exceptions to these specific provisions of the statute.
Not these provisions, but EDF raised it from dictum to holding. That's the law of the circuit. Now, your argument has to be that somehow it doesn't apply here, but we've done that.
Reading it as holding, what's your best argument that they can't do what they did here on the SIL?
Well, even if, under Alabama Power, even if Alabama Power is more than dictum, all the court there posited was that EPA might be able to create an exception from having to get a permit if emissions fell below some level that EPA could show was truly trivial. But that's not an issue here. The sources that we're talking about that are subject to this de minimis exception emit more than those amounts. They're major sources, so they have to get a permit. And once you have to get a permit, you're subject to this central requirement of showing compliance with standards and increments. You can't square creation of yet another de minimis exception on top of that from these central requirements. It also doesn't square with the form of the standards, because the Clean Air Standards already specify in great detail how much leeway you get above the standard.
Part of what the agency's saying, at least as to the SILs, I thought you were going to the SMC, that's what I meant by plain language, but in any event, that's the plain language part of the case. You seem to think demonstrate is plain. I'm not so sure that's so plain. But isn't the underlying policy concern that the agency has here is that there's this great irony developing in environmental regulation? The more we slow down and block and prevent new development, the more we allow the old facilities to stay in, and they're a real problem. The old facilities are there creating great problems, and if you keep blocking the developments of the new ones, we're never going to get effective change. Isn't that part of what they're saying? This process is taking years and years to get new and better facilities that are regulated.
Well, that is what they're saying, Your Honor.
And you don't buy that.
But Well, whether I buy it or not is...
No, I mean, but if we don't agree with you that demonstrate is conclusive in its meaning, plain and absolute, and I think that's a hard argument to make in light of our case law, in light of the words. Mm-hmm. But is that not an unreasonable policy concern that they have?
Well, it's not the policy Congress chose, Your Honor. It says no sources, no new major sources may commence construction unless they show...
Demonstrate.
that they won't cause or contribute. And I go back to what I said to Judge Griffith. EPA says that demonstrates means what we say it means. They've created an exception to that here. That's what this case is about. But if they don't like this, they need to go to Congress. If they think we should be spending more effort on existing sources and less on new sources, they need to go to Congress. They can't rewrite the statute to do what Your Honor was suggesting.
I'm just not sure when you take away the flawed results examples that you've given, which are perfectly good, and the agency was beaten on those, and they want them back because they made a terrible mistake on those. When you take those away, what are you talking about in terms of facilities that are truly in the de minimis category, truly there, going forward, subject to regulation? What is it that you're afraid will happen if they're truly in the de minimis category and they're subject to continuous regulation? What am I misunderstanding here?
Well, Your Honor, the problem is that I don't think they've shown that they can identify such a facility where the impact is truly de minimis, because you're talking here not – their test relies just on what this one source contributes in isolation. And so if you just look at what this source is adding, they say –
saying they didn't measure it here, or it's not measurable?
No, what they're not looking at is what's already out there in the way of pollution and what's coming in the way of pollution from other sources. It's sort of like an analogy we used in the brief. You can't say that an additional amount of a dangerous drug isn't going to contribute or cause an overdose unless you know how much of the drug the person is already taking and will be taking.
On the first issue, or is that more on the SMC?
Well, it's on both, but and
doesn't it speak more directly to the SMC, Judge Edwards?
You do have some plain meaning, I think.
Yeah.
Not
just plain meaning, but even his example goes better to the, and especially plain meaning.
But. We use the example there, but I think it applies to the SILs as well, because the de minimis test that they want the court to authorize says that all we have to do is look at what this source by itself is contributing, and we can declare that to be de minimis in all cases. And that's not...
Why didn't you challenge the SMC back in 1980? What's your response to that?
Well, the pollutant that we're concerned about here wasn't listed in 1980 as one for which an SMC was adopted. And the 1980 rule didn't purport to establish any sort of general interpretation or principle that these exemptions applied to all sources in to all pollutants in futuro. It was just for those listed pollutants. Okay. The problem, and I want to get back to this issue of the why we'd like the court to address the merits here, is that EPA, they're openly say they're going to keep doing this. They're going to allow these de minimis exceptions in exactly the same situation. An increase that's below these SILs can cause or contribute to a violation, and they'll still allow it. All they're saying is they want to leave discretion on remand. They want to change the rule to leave discretion to the permitting authority.
Well, wouldn't we be better able to judge what they're going to do on remand after they've done it on remand, counsel?
Well, ordinarily,
Judge Edwards suggests you had a beat on that one. They gave up, and instead of favoring your victory, you were...
They say right in their brief they're going to keep doing this. That's why you're in a position to judge now that's the case. I think I'll reserve the remainder of my time if that's okay with...
We'll give you a little more than that, too, if you need it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You got a minute left. We'll give you another minute if you need it after that. We'll hear from the government.
May it please the court, my name is Jessica O'Donnell with the Department of Justice. I'm here today representing EPA. With me at council's table is Scott Jordan, also from EPA, and Andy Field representing Intervenor UARG. There are four points that I want to make this morning. The first is that EPA agrees with Your Honors that there's no reason to discuss or to address EPA's authority to promulgate SILs in this case in light of EPA's decision to request that the court remand and vacate the provisions in 51-166K2.
That might be so long as you're agreeing that that question is reserved and it could be affected by what you say on remand, that if it comes back to the court again, that it remains an open question.
Which question specifically?
The reasonableness of setting a de minimis standard, that is, I have to hear what you're saying when you say you agree. What are you agreeing with? What I was suggesting was there are divisible questions here, and you're arguing everything goes back, so we don't have to decide one of those two divisible questions, which is your authority to be able to set any de minimis rule, which is part of what they're arguing.
Right, that goes back. Also, the authority for EPA to adopt the SILs in the 40 CFR 51-166K2 and 40 CFR 5221K2. That also goes back. And yes, the court would be able to EPA would be required to support the reasonableness of its exercise of authority to adopt those it adopts on
but
remand.
The question as to whether they had the authority to adopt anything would also remain open. See, you started out by suggesting, yeah, we shouldn't decide that, but then I'm not sure that's what you're really meaning to say, and that's what I want to understand. There are two arguments they're making. One is you have no authority to set a de minimis standard for SILs. That's one argument.
That's right.
Then they say, aha, and for example, here are the stupid results that you get if we allow you to do this. And in response, you say, oh, that's right, there are some stupid results. We'll take those back. Now, what are you meaning to say now? We should send all of it back, or are you meaning to say go ahead and decide the authority issue, but we'll take the portions
I agree that Your Honors do not need to decide the authority issue. That is what EPA is taking back.
So you want that whole thing subject to reconsideration.
That's right.
Authority to do it, and if you think you have authority, your application of that authority.
That's right. But what Sierra Club is arguing is that it wants this court to find that EPA never has the authority to promulgate SILs.
I understand, but I'm trying to figure out what you want on remand. I know exactly what they're arguing.
Right, right. But EPA does think that SILs are inappropriate. There are appropriate uses for SILs.
That's not
and
what
EPA
is trying to explore.
Right, no, that's right.
You seem to be arguing it as if we were going to be deciding that today.
And then you say, but send it back.
Well, yeah. The first point that I was going to make is that the court, that EPA has asked for the court to send that issue back.
Right.
So
why
I'm not going to spend any. I didn't want to spend any more time on that issue. EPA. Is asking the court to uphold the values
I'm a little confused, if you don't mind. So you do not want us to decide that EPA has authority under the statute to create the SILS regime. You don't want us to touch that.
You don't want the court to decide that EPA does not have the authority to adopt SILS to implement Section 165.
You don't want us to decide whether they have the authority.
That's right.
Don't decide the issue. Don't decide either of the two issues under SILS is what you're saying.
I think there are three issues with respect to the
What's
SILS.
The one that you want
the
us to decide?
The issue with respect to the SILS.
You want us to decide anything on SILS?
Yes.
What?
That the values that EPA included in 51-165B2, EPA's pre-existing regulation with regard to SILS, a regulation with regard to which Sierra Club doesn't challenge EPA's statutory authority to promulgate it. that those values are reasonable significance levels to implement the statute.
Well, that's deciding the authority question.
If you don't have the authority to do that, how could...
Well,
if it's an open question whether you have the authority to create these de minimis exceptions, how can we then rule that the way you've exercised that authority is somehow appropriate?
The regulation in 51-165B2 is written significantly differently than the regulations that EPA is asking the court to take back. What Sierra Club's problem is with the regulation, with EPA's use of the SILs to set a significance threshold below which a source doesn't need to prepare a cumulative source impact analysis. What 51-165B2 does is it sets a level above which sources are deemed to cause or contribute to a violation of the NAAQS or the increments. That language doesn't cause the problems that Sierra Club is arguing about in its brief. And in fact, in their brief, they specify that their statutory arguments do not go to that provision. With regard to that provision, the only arguments that they're raising is whether it is a reasonable exercise of EPA's authority. In other words, whether that, not a statutory authority, but whether those values are appropriate levels. EPA's position is that those values are appropriately supported by the administrative record. EPA derived those values from significance levels that EPA established for PM10, and therefore, EPA's assessment of what is significant is consistent with what its past practice is with regard to a similar or a variant of the same pollutant. In addition, EPA confirmed its conclusion by looking at a modeling, its conclusion that those were appropriate de minimis levels, by looking at a modeling analysis that EPA did in 1980, setting similar significance thresholds for PM. At that time, EPA made a technical judgment that de minimis levels or significance levels of representing an air quality impact of 4% of the NAAQS or 28% of the increments would reflect an insignificant impact on the NAAQS or the increments. In this case, the significance levels that EPA established represent values well below those levels that EPA set in 1980.
How are we going to decide this issue you're now presenting without deciding that EPA can make the significance determination that is the subject of what's being remanded?
Well, I think, as I argued earlier, the regulatory language here is different, and all these significance levels do is establish a threshold of when a source is deemed to cause or contribute to a violation of the NAAQS or increment. Sierra Club isn't complaining about that. I think a good way to look at SILs is as tools for the permitting authority to use to determine how much information the permitting applicant is going to be required to prepare and how much information and analysis the permitting authority is going to be required to consider in order to make the cause or contribute determination. I think that Sierra Club is not objecting that EPA is minimizing that burden for purposes of determining that a source is causing or contributing to it. And the result of applying the SIL here is that the source is being required to demonstrate that it can get emissions offsets to offset any significant impact that it has. So I think that it's possible, and Sierra Club is not raising the issue with regard to this provision EPA would like to uphold.
My colleagues can correct me if I'm wrong if you start speaking directly to the SMC.
Certainly.
Do either of my colleagues wish further on this before we get to that? If not, you may want to move over to that, counsel.
Judge Griffith asked counsel for Sierra Club whether their challenge to the SMC, to the EPA statutory authority to promulgate the SMC, is time barred. And the answer to that question is yes. EPA promulgated the SMC, the significant monitoring concentration in regulation, in 1980. Sierra Club was aware of it at that time and should have and could have raised any challenge to that at that time.
This is a new issue. It was raised. It was clear when it was raised that it was intended to be a new issue, not previously covered. Our case law is so clear on that that you absolutely have an opportunity to challenge. It's a brand new issue on a brand new point that was not previously covered.
I think the record shows that it was not a brand new issue that EPA was introducing here. The preamble to the proposed rule and the preamble to the final rule described EPA, the history of this SMC regulation and the PSD permitting regulation.
This is a new regulation.
And that this is a new regulation adding a number to a table in the CFR. It's a regulation that is adding a value for PM2.5, which is a variant of family of pollutants that's already covered by the table. So the only issue, I think, here is whether that value that EPA selected is a reasonable number. I think it was reasonable for EPA to set the significant monitoring concentration that it did here. The EPA established the significant monitoring concentration based on minimum detection level and an uncertainty factor.
In your notice of rulemaking, didn't you propose comment on three methodologies?
Yes. EPA, yes, but those are...
Two of which were not involved in 1980 rulemaking, right?
The methodologies, the mathematical calculation that EPA promulgated or used to set the SMC were different, and we're saying that Sierra Club can challenge that. But the authority, the statutory authority to establish...
When you have three methodologies, not just one that was in 1980, I mean, you argue, if you want to waste your time arguing, argue. Our case law on this, I think, is very clear. You reopened the issue. Parties are allowed to challenge. You proposed not... You didn't say, this is already done. We did it in 1980. It's exactly what we mean to do. You said there are three methodologies. We're inviting comment.
Well, I see that at least Judge Edwards and perhaps Judge Sentel is not going to be persuaded. So I do want to spend my time wisely here, and I will not pursue that point any further in argument. I mean, it is EPA's position that it raised
the... You're not abandoning the position.
Well, I'm not abandoning
right
it,
now,
but I'm moving on.
You might want to move on.
But I'm moving on.
Well, then you keep... We hear you. We're expressing skepticism. We have great I have great skepticism on the next point that you should be getting to.
Right, which is EPA, which is EPA does have the authority under Section 165E2 to establish this type of significance threshold for determining when the information, the monitoring information that's required by the statute is
that's
not
right.
going
required
to serve.
Required by the statute is the key notion here.
But
monitoring is required by the statute.
But it is required for a specific purpose, which is to ensure that there is an adequate and complete analysis. And EPA can make the judgment that it is not Alabama Power recognized that EPA could make a judgment to avoid.
What case law says when Congress says, here's what we want. We want to be able to assess something because it's important so far as we're concerned. And by statute, we're saying, here's the way it's to be done. What case law says an agency has the authority to say, well, there's an ambiguity there. Congress said, we want you to achieve a certain result, and here's the only way to do it. And the agency has an implied authority to say, well, we have another way.
Well, Alabama Power was in the context of a situation where the statutory scheme applied a strict requirement, but application that in some circumstances application of the statute in that manner would lead to a fruitless or pointless expenditures of effort and money. Here, EPA is saying we're not exempting the monitoring requirement categorically, but we are saying that where collection of that data is going to be at ambient concentrations or where the source's impact is going to be at concentrations that are below the level which monitors can accurately measure, then we think that requiring that information does not further the purposes of the
statute.
Doesn't
that sound like something that counsel would suggest you ought to go talk to Congress about?
Right.
Congress has been very specific in what it describes here, and as Judge Edward asked, who is the agency to come along and say, well, it really doesn't make sense for us to do it under this circumstance?
But even the court in Alabama Power, where it invalidated EPA's categorical exemption of the monitoring data, recognized that there may be circumstances where requiring, where the agency can avoid strict application of the statute, where it involves,
What's
the regulatory burden.
What's the case you have where the court upheld a de minimis approach in the question of information gathering?
I'm sorry, what was
What's the closest case you have that goes your way on this kind of question?
We think our best case is the Environmental Defense Fund case. And in that case, the statute was just as strictly written as the statute here.
What did
there,
it require?
It required that the that before a federal activity could be approved, there needed to be a demonstration of conformance with the implementation plan. And in that instance, EPA established a de minimis exception for categories of activities where requiring an analysis of that, requiring that information, an analysis of whether the particular activity conformed, would be a pointless expenditure of effort. That is the same purpose for which EPA is, or this is the same reason why EPA is created the significant monitoring concentrations here. Believes that requiring monitoring data where the data itself would not be useful for any quantitative purpose is the perfect
example. You know that until you collect it.
Well, it's
a year's collection. How do you know what you're going to get in a year? I mean, that's the whole point of collecting the data for the mm-hmm. year. How do you know what you're going to get?
Yeah.
You have no idea what you're going to get. You can guess what you're going to get. And Congress, it seems to me, we as judges say, hey, you cannot ever prove to us that you know conclusively what you're going to get. That's not possible to prove that. And Congress may have said, well, there may be some stupid situations that are fruitless. There may be some that are so-so, and there may be some who are terrific. We want them to do it all the time. That's a legislative call.
I think there are three responses to that. One is that with the if the concentrations are so low, the SIL is set, or the SMC is set so that the concentrations are so low, or the facility's impact is so low that the impact will be there doesn't need to be a concern about what the air quality is. The second response to that is that
I just don't know how you know that.
The application of the SMC.
I don't know how you know that. That's the whole point of
well,
monitoring
to
prove the point.
But you are the way you know it is through a modeling exercise and
yeah,
through
the problem
and
is Congress didn't say you can either go on modeling or collect this data. And you seem to be saying that you have the option of relying on your modeling alone or your modeling plus the data, or the data, for that
matter. The data may already exist.
It's
got to be a year forward.
It's a year forward. The data does not exist.
There may be data that exists with regard to the ambient concentrations in the
area.
The
data that Congress said to get doesn't exist.
But there may be a reasonable substitute, and there are procedures under EPA's regulation for...
Congress did not decide there was a reasonable substitute. Congress decided you had to do it this way. So when you come in and say there's a reasonable substitute, tell them. But
this language is so clear. It is unbelievably clear.
You have a
fight on the sill. I can see it, understand your argument. This language is so clear, it's unbelievable.
Well, I see that I'm over my time, but I do think that as we explained in our brief, the point of an Alabama Power exception is where the statute is clear, but there are reasons why requiring the application of a strict requirement would be pointless, and that is the basis for the SMC.
Determination of when matters are truly de minimis naturally will turn on the assessment of the particular circumstances, and the agency will bear the burden of making the required showing. But we think most regulatory statutes, including the Clean Air Act, permit such agency showings in appropriate cases, but the agency has to be able to show it's truly de minimis You don't come in here and say, we've got the power to be de minimis, defer something de minimis, and we're doing so. And that's what we're, or at least part of what we're concerned about, I think. Okay, thank you, counsel. You have 1 minute. We'll give you back another one. You got 2 minutes for rebuttal. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about the interview. I usually forget interveners. Don't feel like you've been singled out.
It's nothing personal.
That's right.
I guess we'll see in a moment. When the projected air quality impact of a proposed source approaches zero, EPA has the discretion to determine that that proposed source is not causing or contributing to an ambient air quality standard violation or an increment violation. We believe this was determined by the court in Alabama Power, and we believe EPA properly exercised its discretion in the rulemaking, the three-year rulemaking it conducted in order to establish significant impact levels or SILs for PM 2.5. If the challenge thresholds are sent back, our main concern is whether it's vacature or remand, and we believe that if they are sent back, and we strongly urge this court not to send them back, we urge this court to uphold them, but if it is, we believe that the appropriate approach is...
Are you talking now about the ones that EPA is agreeing to send back?
Yeah, I am.
What do you think the chances are of us not sending back something when both the petitioner and the respondent want it sent back?
Slim and none, which is why the rest
Slim
of my...
Slim just left town, I think, counsel.
Which is why the rest of my argument is going to be on what the approach should be, and that we believe it should be remand, not vacature. The reason we believe that that's approach is that if the rules, if the SILs do not remain in place during the remand rulemaking, permit applicants will have virtually no chance to get a PSD permit. I would liken the PSD permitting process to a 110-meter hurdles event, where you've got 10 hurdles, each 2 meters high. It's difficult to get over the hurdles. Not everyone's going to do it, but it's possible. Without the existence of SILs, however, it's like taking one of those hurdles and making it into a 20-meter hurdle, in which case no one is going to get over it, and no one is going to be able to get a permit in the interim. In contrast to petitioners' concern, Sierra Club's concerns here, we believe their concerns are speculative rather than real, and I'm going to give several reasons why we believe they're speculative. The first is that relatively few sources get PSD permits. In any given year, not that many people seek them. Many of those that seek them don't get them, and even those that get them end up, many of them, not building their sources. Indeed, petitioners in comments that they filed in this rulemaking list six sources that they expressed great concerns over. None of those sources ended up being built as petitioner was concerned about. But we want the people to be able to get those permits if they meet the requirements. Couple that with the fact that they're saying that they're concerned about additive impacts, lots of different sources in an area coming in and having additive impacts on a downwind area. The impacts are highly unlikely to be additive, particularly with the 24-hour increments that we're talking about here, which Sierra Club, in its comments, acknowledges are the primary increments of concern. In addition, and I think Judge Edwards referred to this in his questioning, remember that what we're talking about here is an ambient standard. It's kind of like a tertiary ambient standard. You have a baseline concentration that has all those existing sources, and then you have an increment for growth on top of that baseline. If the sources in the baseline reduce their emissions, that essentially expands the room for growth for these new sources coming in. And in fact, that is what's going to happen here. There are going to be lots of sources in the baseline that are going to be reducing their emissions. Some are going to retire. A lot of the power plants that petitioners have been concerned about have announced retirements. And those that are not retiring are going to be reducing their emissions significantly because of many of the rules that EPA has recently adopted and have been in front of this court and this court has upheld. Finally, we would say that if under some circumstances there is a violation of an ambient standard or an increment, there is a redress and that's under EPA's rules, you go back and take care of the problem. In short, allowing the thresholds to stay in effect during any remand rulemaking.
Wait, finish that last thought.
Okay.
There is redress what?
There is redress. Under 40 CFR section 51.166A3, if it is determined that there is an increment violation or an exceedance, the state involved has to go back and revise the standard. That was another part of Alabama Power. Allowing the thresholds to remain in effect during any remand rulemaking will prevent disruption of the PSD permitting process and allow well-controlled economic growth, and it will not cause serious harm to petitioner. Remember, the issue here is not whether PM 2.5 might harm Sierra Club's members, but whether Sierra Club has proved that its members are harmed by the infinitesimally small impacts of PSD PM 2.5. As long as the elimination of the SILs will prevent otherwise sound projects from being permitted and built, and as long as petitioner has not proved and cannot prove that the SILs are causing its members actual and imminent harm, vacature is not the appropriate remedy. Indeed, because there's not actual harm or injury that is traceable to EPA's creation of the de minimis thresholds in this case.
You are well beyond your limit.
Petitioner lacks standing to raise these issues. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Now you get your 2 minutes. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Your Honor. Well, in terms of the last point, according to the record, as opposed to the statements of your counsel, which most of that stuff isn't in the record, EPA issues around 270 of these PSD permits per year. We have declarations from members stating that they live near and are affected by plants that are applying for permits right now. We have examples of permits that were issued where facilities claimed SIL exemptions that allowed them to increase SIL exemptions that were not in the rules, by the way, but that allowed facilities to worsen increment violations in Shenandoah National Park and so on. So this is not a hypothetical problem, but I want to turn to the court's, back to the point, take another run at this point of addressing at least part of the merits here, and that is on SILs. And that is, if the court just vacates and remands without saying what's wrong with this rule, we're going to be back here. Because
that's not coming as a surprise.
Yeah. that might create full employment for lawyers and judges.
But it's rather the norm with things that we remand, and not just EPA, but lots of agencies that we're expecting to see everybody again on another day, and we might be hoping a different panel.
But to at least minimize the potential for damage here, it would help if the court would at least clarify a couple of points. First, you can't adopt a de minimis exception that allows standards and increments to be violated. That's the flaw in this rule that they admit. The only thing they don't admit is that they can't allow it. They just say they can't require exemptions in those situations. And secondly, that you can't base a de minimis exception just by looking at the source's contribution in isolation, because that's not all that decides whether this source's addition is going to make a difference.
Let me ask you directly, are you saying we should vacate while we're remanding? I know you're not interested in what we want to remand all that, but assuming we're going to remand what EPA is agreeing to remand, are you saying we should vacate as opposed to the intervener says we should not vacate?
Yes, Your Honor. We just want the court, when you're vacating,
what your position is on
to say why this rule is unlawful.
No, that...
I'm sorry, why...
You keep going to that question instead of the one I'm trying to get an answer to. The one I want the answer to is, are you saying we should vacate when we remand?
Yes.
If we remand?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Don't tell me any more about what you're giving any reasons for it or anything. That's the answer. Yes.
Do you agree everything should go back?
Yes, and if the court, I think the court should hold the agency to what they just said here, which is the issue of the authority. If the court isn't going to address that here, that remains open.
Well, they said there's one part of that that you didn't challenge.
Well, Yeah, we don't agree with that for reasons in our reply brief.
I mean, I think you only drop it under arbitrary and capricious, not on authority, in that particular provision.
That's,
make an arbitrary and capricious argument, but not an authority argument.
Well, it's true that the footnote that cited provisions didn't cite this one on the authority, but the text of the argument does address the authority question.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that as a judge. Your responsibility to tell us what's at issue, and I think you, I mean, they're trying to catch you there. You split that out. It puts the case in a very odd posture. You leave out one piece of it, which you really do not challenge on the authority terms.
Well, even if that's true, Your Honor,
we did
argue.
You know the same footnote that I'm looking at.
Yeah. We did challenge the, we challenged the arbitrariness of that number, contrary to what EPA counsel said.
You did challenge the arbitrariness. Yeah. That's a different inquiry.
And those are the same SIL numbers that they used for the rest of the case. So that should be sent back too.
All right.
Leave out the footnote next time it comes back. In fact, everybody leave out all footnotes from now on.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah. If you want us to read something, put it up where our eyes are, you know. Not, okay, be that as it may, the case is submitted. Give us recess.